Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea top of the right circle. Reels it in. Hands it off. Carlson shoots. Off the post and home!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal! It's Tomas Hertl, his first goal of the night!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
We are in a different situation, experiencing something that hasn't been around these parts in 3 years. The Vegas Golden Knights are facing elimination in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The last time that they were up against the prospect of having to win and extend their season or else their season is over was against Montreal in Game 6. 3 years ago. So it's a lot has happened since that time, and we're looking forward to a reaction and a response from the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow in Game 6 at T-Mobile. Remember to wear your gold, and that means you, Chapman. I'm holding you personally responsible for what happened in Games 3 and 4 with your entire take that your journalistic integrity takes over and trumps anything gold. You have to look in the mirror and you have to face facts. You are part of the solution. You are not part of the problem. And you will wear gold for Game 6 tomorrow night at the Fortress.
Well, I could start by saying I won't wear gold tomorrow night at the Fortress.
Oh,
and
wow.
I could also say that the reason they lost games 3 and 4 was because they were outplayed by the Dallas Stars. It had zero
to do with my
wardrobe.
Although
I wonder what Bruce would have to say if he said, Hey Bruce. Ooh. I heard you ask the first question today, by the way. In the presser. So you had an opportunity to shoot your shot and you could have said, "Hey Bruce, Chapman did not wear gold."
Bruce doesn't care about you.
Well,
or superstitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or superstitions.
Well, see, so there we go. So,
but the rest of us do.
Well,
we are diving right into this.
I'm going with the head coach. Superstitions are
Chapman. Find a piece of gold and put it inside your jacket, in your pocket. Where if you can wear what you normally wear to games, you can find a way to squish in a piece of gold.
Well, truth be told, okay, on Monday I had a Hawaiian shirt on that had gold in it, so it did not work.
Find a way.
It didn't work.
Wait a minute. You wore some gold on Monday?
It wasn't gold. It was yellow.
It had some gold in it.
No, it wasn't gold. I saw you. It was yellowish. And if it had any gold, you would have owned it by coming right back at us and giving. That's how I know it wasn't gold, because you didn't shove it down our throats like you should have done if you were wearing gold. So I don't care what it is, Chapman. Go find a loony. Which is gold. Put it in your pocket. Whatever it takes, but be one of us. All right? Rooting this team on. Getting them over the top.
Listen, I want to see them win.
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, it does.
Voice of the fans.
Yes.
Voice of the fans that's not a fan.
By the way, I'll defer back to they didn't lose games 3, 4, or 5 because of my lack of gold. They lost those games because they weren't the better team.
Somebody's
games.
A little defensive.
I am defensive.
What I'm getting out of this. Lost last night, and it was an opportunity in the third period, game on the line. We'll get into the push that occurred in the third period, reminiscent of what we saw in game 4. Was there a difference? Did you think that the Golden Knights' performance was on a different level in game 5 last night compared to the two games at home? We will explore the goaltending change that took place last night with Aiden Hill taking over and the numerous moves that they made with the 18 skaters. Some guys going in for the first time, both at forward and defense, and other players moving around. We will chat with John Shannon in just a little bit. He will join us in hour number two and get his take on what we're witnessing. Big game tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs involving the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are trying to do what the Florida Panthers accomplished last year and come back from a 3-1 deficit against the Boston Bruins. A couple of other things happening. Rod Brind'Amour is a topic of conversation about his contract and his future with the Carolina Hurricanes. I actually talked to Marty Nietzsche this morning for the Chirp podcast, and there's a real underlying story that not a lot of people are aware of with the Carolina Hurricanes right now in the last dance realm, because they have so many free agents, and now this story that's percolating with their head coach. So we'll get into some of that with John Shannon in just a little bit, as we've got another coaching vacancy with Seattle Kraken joining the search for a new head coach. But let's get into just the recap from last night. And it was a good start, a strong beginning with a power play goal, unable to hold the lead, and penalty issues again, but positioning themselves for an opportunity to win the game. The game rating would be interesting. Chapman, would you be able to do that right now? Because I think the game rating will set us up for a lot of the conversation over the next 2 hours.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Here it is, Chris Chapman summing up game five.
Well, it's either make or break for me. There's no in the middle. They lost. They were outplayed again. I'm going to go fireball. It's a 1 out of 5. It was a must-win game, I thought, and they fell short. So fireball, 1 out of 5.
All right. Ryan.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go, I'll go 2 out of 5. I'll go with Jen. It's, you know, as much as you want to go, it's binary. It's one or the other. It's a 1 or a 5, a 1 for a loss, a 5 for a victory. I think that, you know, you look at the Golden Knights, they were right there. I love the start, the power play goal. Then the kind of the inability to hold that lead. But then you do some good work. You get to your game. You get even going into the second period. I like that resolve from the Golden Knights. That being said, it's penalties again and undisciplined penalties that cost the Golden Knights in the middle frame. And then you're chasing the game in the third period. Though I think they did a good job generating some looks. Obviously, Chandler Stephenson on the breakaway, that was the best chance of that third period, just unable to convert. And if you do, maybe it's a different game. Brett Howden doesn't ring a puck off the post, maybe it's a different game. But, you know, on the whole, again, it's one of those scenarios where you got to manage the game a little bit better. They didn't do that in the second period, and they were behind going into the third, so it's 2 out of 5 for me.
I'm glad we made the executive decision and offered the game ratings, because it does set us up going into game six and where the Golden Knights are with their performance throughout this series. I will go with the 2, with the gin as well, 2 out of 5. They were right with them in shots. I thought it was a very balanced game. The extra power play that they gave the Dallas Stars ends up costing them, as the Stars go 2 for 4 with the man advantage offsets the 1 for 3 for the Vegas Golden Knights. There was a lot that I liked for a game in which you're still playing catch up with your combinations and trying to find that right grouping up front, primarily with Chandler Stephenson and Mark Stone. And I really did appreciate Tomas Hertl in his game last night. I liked Ivan Barbashev with Nick Waugh and William Carrier. There was no drop-off of any significance with William Karlsson. Maybe not as noticeable with Brett Howden and Michael Amadio, but I didn't find them being causing any type of drama with their puck management. Top line, I think, can still do a little bit more. It's funny to say that with Jack having the type of series he has had from a production standpoint, but puck management is a little bit. But I did appreciate it. And on the back end, Hutton going in, a couple of big blocks, and I thought he was a presence as well. So for as many moving parts as there were last night, including in goal, I appreciated their game, and I didn't think that they were outplayed last night. There was a puck that made its way in, and Chandler Stephenson, I'll use that for an example. Jake Ottinger made an incredible save on the breakaway. Otherwise, it was a really big saw off. Dallas is being more composed throughout the game, and I don't know whether you guys had a chance to hear Alec Martinez, but his second intermission interview with Ashley Weiss was really telling, and I thought, what a beautiful observation from a three-time Stanley Cup champion. He just said they had to calm down. They had to, for lack of a better term to paraphrase, take a deep breath, and they can't be putting themselves in predicaments for taking penalties that are not game specific or game impactful, like checking on a breakaway or trying to defend in that regard. And that's two games in a row. But Chapman, are you like, this may be funny to say, but are you a one or a five the rest of the way? And there's no in between?
Yeah, there's no in between.
Okay. So just remember that I can just say Chapman gives a one or Chapman gives a five. There's still room for different grades in here because you cannot judge the Golden Knights' performance last night in the same lens as what we viewed game three, Chris.
Well, I think that's what we did last year. It was either a one or five for us last year in the playoffs. So I'm just sticking with the model that we set last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Ryan, is that true?
I think we got to a point where that was more or less where we went. It was a one or a five. But to be honest, there wasn't a lot of losing that happened last year.
That's
in the postseason
a fair point
for the Golden
yeah.
Knights. And they were further along just in terms of where they were at with their overall game. There wasn't as much flux in the lineup. And I think Darren's point that he just made that, you know, you look at game five versus game three, there's a lot that's different for the Golden Knights in a positive direction based on what they did last night than what they did in game number three.
Well, yeah, so, I think the effort was there last night. You know, they certainly didn't come out and play like they thought maybe it was going to be easy. Which was something thrown around on Saturday night. But listen, I thought there were some positives last night, but you scored
a lot of positives.
You score the first goal, and you turn the puck over, and Dallas responds a minute later. Deflating, I think, is probably the way I viewed that. I thought there were some undisciplined penalties, much like there were in Game 4.
Yeah.
And from guys you would expect not to be undisciplined in that situation. You know, it's funny. Me and Ryan talked about it before we came on the air about the Stephenson play. And I think Haskinen...
The breakaway?
Yeah, he just got enough of Stephenson to kind of throw him off a little bit. Because I think if Haskinen doesn't get in front of Stephenson and kind of grab him a little bit, I think Stephenson goes in and scores that goal.
Yeah, I thought it was a great save by Jake Ottinger, stretching out.
I'm with you there.
Really, really solid save. He had him. Chandler Stephenson had Jake Ottinger leaning the wrong way, and he found a way to slide back. If you watch the body of Jake Ottinger, he's actually going in reverse the way it is. Like everything should be going to the left, but you're able to slide back and stick out that right leg. Full marks for that save, but that's the type of play that maybe a year ago goes in, and instead and it couldn't have happened to a guy that needed it more than Chandler Stephenson. With that possibility of scoring a goal, I think that changes a lot throughout this series. So where do you think they are confidence wise going in? Because the first two games Vegas wins could have been split, could have gone the other way. The last two I would put in that category. The middle one, oddly enough, is the more lopsided game, and it was the closest in the series because it actually went to overtime. But but the margin for error is so small here. I like their game right now, and if you add a little desperation, a little we gotta find a way that we saw from Dallas in game three because they were behind the eight ball. I'm expecting good things from Vegas tomorrow night. I appreciate where their game is right now and where it's come in the last two games.
Well, maybe it should have been there last night then as well.
I didn't mind a game last night. Penalties and a couple of turnovers. Yeah, that's self-inflicted. If they can, and there's no guarantee they can take that away entirely, if they can, I think that that they've got a real good opportunity to not only force a seventh game, but still win the series.
Well, and I think for me, from my perspective, maybe that's the most frustrating aspect of all of this, because I don't think, when I watch Dallas, I don't think they're doing anything special.
Like, oh, they're so good in the neutral zone.
Yeah, but what they're doing is they're punishing Vegas for the self-inflicted mistakes.
Like, yeah, both teams have played a hell of a series defensively.
Yeah,
but, defensively, yeah. Both teams have been outstanding through five games.
Is Dallas is they're taking advantage of what Vegas is giving them, and I don't think Vegas is taking advantage of what Dallas is giving them.
No. Bruce said it today. Dallas has done way more with their turnovers than what Vegas has done with any Dallas mistakes.
I mean, I think the special teams, I've been happy with the power play. You know, I have no complaints. I think outside of last night, the kill has been really good. So, I mean, and look, the second power play goal, it was a bit of some good luck for Dallas. But, like, I'm watching the game, and it's razor thin. It could go either way.
Which is why I'm surprised you're 1 out of 5.
Well, because I'm just sticking with, as I explained, I'm sticking with the script that we wrote last year in the playoffs. If they win, it's a 5. If they lose, it's a 1.
Okay, well, first of all, you can change the script at any point in time because this team this year is not the same as the team that we saw last year with the Golden Knights. There's more moving parts and trying to piece together the right personnel, the combinations, all of that. But to Darren's point, you know, the Dallas Stars have been incredibly good defensively. The Golden Knights have been incredibly good defensively. The question was, are you confident, or where should the confidence level be? I think for the Golden Knights, like, they have done a great job defending throughout the majority of this series. I really do. I look at it, they've done a great job. Dallas has converted on the mistakes that the Golden Knights have fed them in key moments, and that's been the difference in the series so far. If you're the Golden Knights, you have to believe going into this game, you defend the right way, you play the right way on that side of things, and if you can just convert on one or two mistakes that Dallas makes or force them into those mistakes, you have to believe that you've got enough scoring to be able to make this a 7-game series. So I wouldn't change much from what the Golden Knights are doing. Cut down on the penalties. Try to stay composed in those moments. If you take a penalty, as you know, Darren has talked about, like, it's a penalty that saves a goal, or it's a penalty that is in the run of gameplay, not a retaliation of any kind. And just try to make some plays. One or two extra plays, and this is a totally different series.
The goal scoring is what's decided it. And it's so, like, Vegas scored 3.5 goals per game in the first two, and they won. A 4-goal game, a 3-goal game. They've been limited to 2 in the next 3. And that's the difference. And they've been beat by a goal in all 3 games. Empty netter included makes that a multi-goal margin. But basically, 1-goal losses. You got to find a way. They're accomplishing what they need to do defensively. They have to find, which goes to the search for a left winger on the Stephenson-Stone line, find a way to get that extra goal. If you're looking for a storyline for Game 6 with elimination lurking outside the back door of the Golden Knights dressing room, it's finding a way to get to a 3rd goal without making unnecessary sacrifices. Get the puck either to the net through transition, or get the puck. Will Carrier's goal is a great example of just getting the puck to the net. Mark Stone with the deflection, that's 2 in this series. They're not going to be nice. They're not going to be fancy, but you got to find a way to 3. And that's the overwhelming number that jumps out at me through the first 5 games between the success or failure of winning a hockey game.
Yeah, you're right on the money there. It's been a scenario for the Golden Knights where, you know, you're looking for that next goal or just to get to three. That's going to be the important aspect of game number six. It's finding a little bit more offense. The defensive side of things it's been stellar for the Golden Knights. They're going to have to find a way to produce a little bit more offense, whether it's on the power play 5-on-5, doesn't really matter. They're going to have to find more than just two goals a game.
You were 2-2 last night. You were 2-2 in the first period in game number one. What's the difference? Well, you were able to add to it, and you weren't last night. I will acknowledge that while the games look similar in 4 and 5, ending up with the narrowest of victories or defeats, whichever lens you're looking through, I liked the Golden Knights game a lot more last night than I did in game four. I thought they were in the third period specifically, when you are chasing the game and you're searching for that equalizer, I thought they were threatened a lot more than they did in game four.
Yeah, they certainly had their looks in the third period. You know, William Karlsson had one, another really good save by Jake Oettinger. There was a rebound there, but Dallas, they were able to kind of find it and clear it out of danger. And then, you know, certainly there was the Chandler Stephenson breakaway opportunity. I mean, there were, you know, at least four or five quality looks for the Golden Knights, and that's not something you always get from a Dallas Stars team protecting a lead. So I'm with you there. I thought Vegas did have a stronger push in the third period in game five than they did in game four. But, you know, you also look at it from another perspective. Ideally, if you're looking at game six, you don't want to be trailing the game or chasing the game as the Golden Knights have had to do over the last two.
What did you guys think of Adin Hill's performance coming in four games into the series and playing in game five?
I mean, I thought he was good. I don't look at Adin Hill and say that he was the difference in that game. Like, I don't think the Golden Knights lost that game because of Adin Hill. I thought he made some quality saves, some good saves. You know, you look at the power play goals, that first one doesn't actually get to him. It's a kind of a weird bounce off of Noah Hanifin, bounces going away. And then obviously Jason Robertson, it's a shot, goes right back to him. He's able to put it in. So I don't think Adin Hill was bad at all. I thought he was really solid, gave the Golden Knights a chance to win. And it's basically what they've gotten out of Logan Thompson as well. I mean, Logan's performance in game three was outstanding, but each game the Golden Knights goaltending has given him a chance to win.
Who do you think plays game six?
Last night on the post-game show, Dan and I kind of had a conversation about it. I say you go back to Logan Thompson. Again, not because I think there was anything there with Adin Hill that I don't want to see in game number six. I just think Logan's been really, really solid over the course of the first four games. I think down the stretch in the regular season, he earned the net in game number one, and each successive performance has not really pushed him down the depth chart in that respect. So because of how well he played in game number three, because Logan Thompson's been really solid in this series, I think you go back to Logan.
Did you have a temperature on what the fans think should happen or want to happen on the post-game show?
I think fans are kind of in that same boat. I think that they want to see Logan start tomorrow over Adin. That's the read I got from some of the calls and some of the comments on the text line.
See, no, yeah. I think Adin played fine. I have no complaints about the way he played. I'm going to stick with him tomorrow night. I just think you made the call to go to him. I think you stick with him now. And then if you get to a game seven, then you have to, I guess, evaluate who you think gives you the best chance to win. But I think you go back to Adin tomorrow.
You make the change to try to alter momentum. There was nothing Logan Thompson did outwardly wrong in his four starts, but you have that opportunity to throw somebody that won a Stanley Cup a year ago into that, who came off the bench and led the team to a Stanley Cup championship, right there sitting waiting to go, who's had time to work on his game and has been through this situation before. I'm agree with Chapman. I believe that that Aiden Hill, if I was making this selection, would be the player that would go in, just because he's been through more of a fire before. And it's Chill Hill, and nothing bothers him. He was good last night. If things don't go well last night, you've got the opportunity. That's why you don't do it in a non-elimination game, is you've got the opportunity to go back to Logan Thompson. But Hill was good. And Hill, I think, having been that guy a year ago, has earned that opportunity to go back in tomorrow night. So I believe that we'll see Aiden Hill. I don't know from any of the coaches on that regard, but I anticipate seeing Aiden Hill in the lineup because of nothing more than his demeanor and that he's been through the ultimate pressure. Neither guy's ever played an elimination game in the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs. So there's not much separating the two by any regards. And my opinion that it's Aiden Hill is on the smallest margin, tipping it in his favor. But I think that's why you go to him. You put him in to that situation because he's been in maybe not that exact position, but pretty intense stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, I can see it going either way. Like, I guess the way that I would put it is this: if it's Logan or Aiden, I'm not going to be surprised, right? Like, I understand the reasoning on both sides. I understand what you and Chris are talking about. Aiden Hill won a Stanley Cup. He came off the bench. He was miraculous. He was phenomenal throughout that entire playoff run. And though he hasn't faced an elimination game where his season's on the line, he has been in elimination games and put other teams to bed. So there's a pressure that kind of comes with that and another level that you have to get to. He's been there. He's done it. I understand that. And I also look at what Logan's done in this series, and he almost stole game three and almost gave the Golden Knights a 3-0 series lead in a game they really didn't have a business being in. So I don't know that there's a wrong answer when you look at who starts tomorrow.
No, you're right about that. 702-876-1340. Give us a text. Let us know what you're thinking, and we'll get to as many as we can throughout the next 90 minutes. We'll have Bruce Cassidy, his media availability coming up, plus John Shannon, our NHL insider. It's the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas. You know, on the surface, it did look like a very similar goal to game number one, with Mark Stone with a high tip, Tomas Hertl in front of the net, and the Vegas Golden Knights taking an early 1-0 lead. But last night, and very early in the power play again, Mark Stone was actually behind the net, below the goal line, as an option for Jack Eichel. And when Eichel went up top, Stone made a beeline for the top of the circles. And it looked like he was hiding back there. And then he ran out, like, boo! I'm here.
Yeah.
Because it was such an immediate jump. That was awesome stuff. Looking forward to see what happens tomorrow night. I want to give a shout out to Gary Lawless, who's driving around and listening to us in the Las Vegas Valley, the VGK Insider, listening to the VGK Insider Show as we continue to try to determine who had the title first. But Gary's not holding it against us. He is listening as we go along. He'll be part of our television coverage and radio coverage tomorrow night for game 6.
Yeah. I mean, the ultimate insider himself.
What would you say to Gary if he was here right now?
No, I would say that just what I said, that he's the ultimate insider and that he predates the Insider Show. So he came first.
Yeah, he was the original.
Okay. The original insider.
I would ask him to go get me a Slurpee.
I'm guessing he would not
that's
do that.
You.
If he was still in the car. And if he was sitting right here, I'd say, Gary, can you go get me a Slurpee? In the meantime, I might have to go get my own Slurpee.
Yeah.
Here's Bruce Cassidy today with the media availability, discussing a whole host of questions coming his way. Love what he talks about. The positive is they have another level to get to. It might have been Gary Lawless's question, in fact, that they can raise the level of their game still to another place. But it does start with the predicament they are in. It's a do or die in game 6 tomorrow night against Dallas.
They're an unknown going into an elimination game with a group for the first time.
Yeah, I guess if you put it that way, if you've never done something, there is preparation and previous history and experience probably dictates what to expect, which is when the stakes go up, this group has responded well. If you're using last year's playoffs, because this is round one, so even this year, you know, we had to fight our way through to get into the playoffs through a lot of different things. So anticipate this group. Well, I know this team will be ready to play. Just you got to play and play well in the situation we're in. So that's what our focus is on. How can we play better? How can we help the players play better? They'll be ready to go. They know what's at stake. So I'm not concerned about that at all. It's getting playing the right way. We got to play the right way. Play better than the opposition. They've played pretty well.
Bruce, do you try to approach it as much as a normal game as possible, despite knowing what's on the line?
Yeah, I think the players, everyone knows what's on the line. If we don't win, we're done. So, I mean, I don't need to tell them that. We're trying to approach it with what can we do better from the last game, some of the things they've done. To give them an advantage and still talk about the positives we have accomplished. Again, it was a game we're in. We're tight game like a lot of them in this series that got away from us in a short period of time, and we have to get over those hurdles better. That's certainly an area that we were very good at last year and this team has in them with their experience and competitiveness, so we've got to pull that out of them.
You said prior to game five that you were sort of piecing things together on the fly, and if it didn't work, you keep trying things. What are your thoughts about
like piecing in terms of
your
personnel?
Lineup, lines, formations, etc. What are you thinking about tomorrow so far?
Well, we put Dorofeyev in. We're looking to get Steven Stoney more consistently a factor. As I said, there's reasons why Stoney's playing catch-up. We understand that. So Barbashev went up there, so he may go back there. I liked what Barbie did with Nick and Coley, I think, or Nick and Will. I think Barbie can complement different lines. So was it too much for Pav? It's a tough spot to be put in your first game, but he was here all year, and you got to be prepared and ready to play. So a couple of puck battles I thought he could have been better on, and then penalties sort of took some players out of the game that we know have been there. So that was what happened with Pav's minutes. So we'll look at them again. I didn't mind Hurdle with Jack and Marsh. I think they did some good things. So we may go back to the familiar line with Nick Waugh, with Kolesar. I think they know what we're getting every night. But at the end of the day, whatever the lines shake out, I mean, there is going to be some level of newness because of how we went into the postseason. So that's just the reality of it. So we'll go with some familiar lines, but there will probably be someone that hasn't played with someone a lot just because of who's come into our lineup.
It's a strange time to be searching to find your best game. You talked about it last year, how it, you know, you finished like that. You were really going well when you got into the playoffs, and you haven't played the team hasn't played its best game. Is that, in one sense, kind of a positive for you that you know you can be better?
Well, it is a positive. We have another level, I believe. But you got to do it, right? I could talk about it all day long. Got to get out there and do it. So that's what's in front of us. Having said that, you make assumptions you have another level because this team never played together, right? Game one was the first time, and then you take Nick Hag out, so it was one game. So you're just assuming that it'll have another level. And we saw pockets of it throughout this series. We just haven't done it for long enough and well enough. So that's what's in front of us. We got to be more consistent for 60 minutes. We're not going to be – no team plays a full 60-minute game every night. It doesn't happen in this league. Even in the playoffs. So, but we got to get closer to that and over the hump. So that's what we need. And I believe that there's another level in there. And tomorrow night is as good a night as any to get after it and get to it.
Bruce, coming in, you talked about adjustments throughout. At this point, You guys know each other, both teams. Does that make it easier for you to get for the guys to just go out and play maybe and bring their best? Is don't overthink it, just play?
Yeah, I mean, there's both teams are trying to create more offense against good defensive structured teams. I mean, we can see that. You know, we know one of the things they're trying to get out of the zone quicker, you know, and just get in foot races, punted pucks, pucks that are flipped out. We saw it with the Dadonov chance the other night and behind us. We saw it a number of times, and we started transitioning better against that, knowing that, okay, you're not going to have a lot of time. It's a loose puck situation, win a race, and then it's up to our forwards to work back and support. So I think we're starting to counter some of that and get some offense from it. So we've got to keep building on that. But other than that, you know, they're locking the middle of the ice with their center because that's not allowing us to get through the middle with speed unless there's a turnover, a quick transition, right, or a poor line change. We've tried to do the same thing. They've gotten through there more than us because of us mismanaging pucks, right? Like, that's been our Achilles heel this series, is they've gotten more chances off our turnovers than we've gotten off their turnovers by a fairly, like, we keep track of this, a large enough margin. And so, you know, that's an area of the game that we have to be better at. And that's not an adjustment, Nides. That's puck management. That's understanding you got to make hard plays. You're not going to be perfect, but we need to be better in that area. And I think it'll temper some of their offense and temper some of their skill guys feeling good about themselves. And then what happens usually is, if you're not getting your chances, are you going to start to cheat for them or not? And that's where teams can break down. And I don't think either team has really started cheating for them. It's two disciplined teams. We just haven't executed at the level we need to. And that's where, going back to Gary's question, is there another level? I believe there is. We just got to execute better under pressure from them. They're doing a good job. We got to execute better when our opportunities arise. And that's going to give us more offense. I don't think it's like saying, well, we're going to go into a different formations in the ozone. Of course, there's a few things you can do, but at the end of the day, it usually comes back. We need to execute a little cleaner, you know, that whatever play it is to get towards the net better. And some of those have slipped away on us, and some of those have come back at us. And that's where we need to be better.
Apologies if I misunderstood, but it sounded like you might be considering putting Barbashev in another spot again tomorrow.
Well, he may go in with Stevie and Stoney. He played there in one of the games where we moved Hurdle up. And that's just shifting some of our left wingers around, because of, like, if we're going to use Thomas on the left, where does he best fit, right? Or we're moving a center out of there, which we tried with Stevie and Thomas and Stoney. And, you know, the combinations have been okay, but we're just trying to find the one that kind of locks us in the best. And it's not ideal to do that in a postseason, but when we didn't get a chance with Stoney to see who we play with better on his left side, and same with Hurdle coming in a little later. So that's kind of where we're at, and we've got to get an answer to that. But even take that out of the equation, Ashley, like, they're all good players, and eventually you just got to play and, as I said, execute. And then, you know, some of the chemistry will develop and some of it won't.
I'm just curious, with him in particular, what makes him so easy to plug in different situations, and you trust him in an elimination?
Well, he can play a skill game. We saw it with Jack and Marsh, do his part to add to skill, right? He's good at getting to the net. He's good at getting the pucks off the wall. He's a 19-goal scorer, so he can finish. We've used him down low in the power play. He can make some small area plays. So he has the ability to read and play with top players. He's also comfortable playing with the more direct. It's what he did in St. Louis, won a Stanley Cup playing in that role. So he understands the value of that game too, chip and chase, more than maybe line rush. So he can vacillate between the two. That's what I think, you know, is a compliment. He's played both wings. He's an efficient player, effective player in those different roles. He'll still bring physicality on the forecheck. So usually it means you have a certain level of IQ to understand what makes the line function, and he's good at reading off whoever he's playing with, and he's a winner, right? So you want winners in your lineup, and you sort of figure out, okay, like, get to work and play like a winner, and you know that then the line or the D pair doesn't always matter if you have that mentality.
Bruce, you mentioned plugging players back in the lineup, some that have not played together until this playoff. Did you figure this was going to be a challenge to find chemistry on the fly, or is it a bigger challenge than you anticipated it even might be?
No, I figured it would be a challenge. And I think if you probably went back and before the playoffs and one of these, I said it's not as easy as just, it's not fantasy league where you just put in all the names and it automatically happens, right? There's work involved. There's the other team that's the number one seed. There's guys that haven't played in a long time, and never mind regulars at the highest, you know, high level of playoffs. And it takes a while to get to your game, and that it's not automatic. I think that was actually one of the beauties of watching Mark Stone last year, how quickly he got to his game from a major surgery. It's just those things aren't always that easy to get to. So we're working on it, and it looked like in the first two games we were coming along, and then game three, no. And then game four and five, as I said, yes, it looked like we were getting better. I felt the team was playing pretty well. We're in the game, and no one's dominating, and we were playing well. And then we got ourselves in trouble with some puck game management. I'll just leave it at game management. And then the game gets away from you a little bit, and against a good team, like you're chasing it. So when you're chasing it and you haven't been together a lot, that's when I think it's a little easier to, like, the first two games when they're chasing it, you're just going out doing your job. Doesn't matter who I'm playing with. We're just managing pucks. We're playing the same way. Solid defensively, getting offense from defense because we're ahead. You know, was when you start chasing the game offensively, now you're trying to make plays that maybe the chemistry that you don't have really would help you because you're trying to catch up. So that's what we've bumped up against the last couple of games.
Are you superstitious at all? Like, did you?
No.
So you didn't put your suitcase, didn't leave it out so that you could repack it tomorrow or anything like that?
No, I'm not a superstitious guy in any way, shape, or form. I don't know. It's just, I'm routine oriented. I will say that. But if I forgot a pair of my lucky underwear, and I would not turn around and go home and get them. So let's put it that way. I'd wear the ones I brought, or I'd go purchase a pair, Gary.
Bruce is not superstitious, but that doesn't mean we all can't jump on board with that to make sure that the entire hockey gods are with us. That means Chris Chapman. Chapman, gold. Mm-hmm. Gold, Chapman. Find a place to put it, part of your wardrobe, be part of the crowd tomorrow night in supporting the Vegas Golden Knights. You don't have to jump. You can't jump up and down in the press box. I would admonish you for cheering in the press box, but doesn't mean inside you can't give her a little fist bump when you're up there.
Not going to happen.
We'll be back to set up hour number two of the VGK Insider Show, including a return of John Shannon after this. Getting some texts in on the text line through the Golden Knights plan to start the goaltending dilemma tomorrow night, and whether or not it should be Aiden Hill or Logan Thompson. We'll get into that in hour number two. Plus, John Shannon is going to stop by. Hey, if it's $2 beer night, how many beers would you pound back if you're at the old ballpark? The Aviators having that tonight.
Oh, at a ballpark? Probably 5 to 6. Like, that's a
like $2 beer amount. Night. $2 beer night is basically all you can drink beer.
Yes,
at a sporting event, to have $2 beers, that's akin to having all you can drink.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So you're going 5 or 6? Yeah, I'm about the same way. Like, I wouldn't get goofy, but for $2 a beer, I'd throw 5 back.
You know what they have at the ballpark, and they also have it at T-Mobile Arena? It's called Barbecues Mexicana. It's on the concourse at T-Mobile. Every time I go to an Aviators game, I have to get it because it's so good. And I've gotten it at T-Mobile, and it's just as good. They have, like, this pork belly on skewers. Oh, my God, it's so good. That would go great with some $2 beers.
Well, thank you for, like, taking it back to beers, which was the original conversation.
Well, listen, I have to eat if I plan on drinking. I'm that guy. I can't drink on an empty stomach, so.
Hey, I have buddies that would throw back 15.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you guys are from the land of Molson and Labatt's Blue, so that's
like the price of two beers.
Yeah.
Just make sure you plan your ride home accordingly.
Absolutely.
On $2 beer night. All right?
Yeah, for sure.
We got hour number two, John Shannon coming by, plus one-timers, news, notes from around the National Hockey League at Fox Sports Las Vegas.